Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Wednesday night Consumer Education Series. This is David Sandoval. I'm the president and one of the founders of Platinum Health Products. Oftentimes, we are joined by Amy. She will not be with us this evening. She sends her apologies, and she will be joining us next weekend, I'm sure. I wanted to let everybody know that in your mailbox, you should be expecting to receive a newsletter. I've sent out our quarterly newsletter. It's a little bit late. It was supposed to be out the last day of March, and I think it went out about 10 days late on there. So, but inside, there is a nice little flyer called the Awesome Products for Athletes. It is a single flyer all about the products that we have available for athletes. And many people have been demanding it, and I wanted to tell you that we did listen. And it is going to be available to you also. You could download it from our website, or you could buy some of them if you like, for whatever reason, to give to a sports team or out to friends. Otherwise, it's available absolutely for free. You could download it from the website. And we did send you one copy, a black and white version, in the newsletter. We hope that you'll enjoy that. Also wanted to remind you that in the event that you wanted to tell others about this call, it can be heard again starting 24 hours from today, simply by dialing 212-990-6260. And that is the what we call the replay line. And each call stays up for one full week until the start of the next week's education series. And so in that way, you could either instantly recall it by dialing that number, or you could go to the back office on, or you could go to our website, excuse me, to the education tab, and there we will have archived each and every one of our calls, assuming that the technical difficulties did not occur, which have, of course, happened a couple of times. One other way that we'll communicate this to you is if we have your email address, we are going to email a link to you. In other words, it will say, we hope you were able to listen last night, but if you didn't or if you would like to listen again, simply click here and turn up the sound on your computer and you will be listening instantly to tonight's call. And so that is a couple of ways that if you like tonight's information and you wish to share it with others or to review it again, that you will be able to do that. So that having been said, I would like to start tonight's subject officially. Again, it is the subject, irritable bowel syndrome. And before we get started, I just wanted to remind you that we are not offering medical advice. We do not purport to be doctors. We do not heal. And we do not mitigate conditions or diseases. I am an educator. I am someone who hopes to share with you what I have learned in my 20-plus years of examining, exploring, gathering information, sifting through information. You have to go through a lot of wrong stuff. You need to sort through a lot of misinformation, a lot of wrong information, a lot of self-serving information that is out there to get down to what I believe is the truth or the closest thing to the truth as we could find until more information is available. That having been said, there are those in our society and those who are becoming more aware of the dangers of pharmaceutical drugs, of the dangers of simply waiting for a doctor to fix you with some magic bullet. And those dangers come in the form of side effects, contraindications. They come in the form of misprescriptions and adverse reactions. And so for those who may not want to submit themselves to pharmaceutical solutions, we hope to educate you about something we call prevention. Prevention is the best medicine. So are we prescribing medicine? Yes. If prevention is medicine, we certainly are prescribing that. Are we telling you that lifestyle can dramatically impact your health and any condition that you may be suffering from? Yes. And so we are going to recommend lifestyle modifications. And I hope that through our, through our methodical way of presenting this information, many people will be able to very easily understand what they're up against, what they need to do in order to increase their body's ability to naturally defend and to naturally respond to any challenge that you may have. So that having been said, give me one moment while I gather my notes. We'll get started. First thing we're going to talk about is, what is irritable bowel syndrome? Well, the bottom line is that irritable bowel syndrome is primarily a functional disorder of the large intestine. And this means that the large intestine doesn't have a twist or a turn or a break or a pinch. It's nothing like that. This is without any accompanying structural defects. And so irritable bowel syndrome is typically affecting the colon. It fails to operate normally. It's a functional disorder. Again, there's no evidence of damage to the intestines. Some of the causes of irritable bowel syndrome might be related to poor motility. In other words, the inability of the body to quickly move food through the system, or to move that food far too quickly. Some other potential causes are having to do with food allergies. But as opposed to food allergies, typically with irritable bowel syndrome, what we're looking at is a food sensitivity as opposed to necessarily a food allergy. And so there is also a preponderance of evidence that when there is a diarrhea type of symptom with the, you know, with the IBS, then there's a very real chance that it could be celiac disease. So celiac disease is a potential cause of the irritable bowel syndrome. Now, another thing that needs to be looked at is the possibility that there is a non-immunological activity. In other words, it could be psychological. A lot of people with sort of depression, people who have a tendency to have episodes of despair or feelings of feelings of insecurity, oftentimes have the symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome. Hypothyroidism, adrenal insufficiency, diabetes mellitus is also oftentimes associated with it. Pancreatic insufficiency, as we said, in celiac disease. Oftentimes, antibiotic use or antacid usage is implicated in celiac disease. Candida or intestinal candidiasis is one other contributing factor. The use of laxatives, the overuse of laxatives is important. Now, some people don't know that some things that you're taking actually have laxatives in them. Some things you're taking that they call fiber actually have laxatives in them. And so if you're taking fiber to relieve the impacted fecal matter that oftentimes is associated with irritable bowel syndrome, and then you have a laxative abuse, and then that leads to irritable bowel syndrome as well. Now, if you put sodium hydroxide into the toilet after you've gone number two and it turns red, then you know that you have... and then you probably are taking a laxative without knowing it. Lactose intolerance is associated with IBS. Inflammatory bowel disease is associated with IBS. And not to mention infections like Giardia are also associated with IBS. Now, some things that are the most common, the very things that we have to look after, are sugars. sugars are a tremendous contributor to IBS, as are carbonated beverages and the excessive consumption of coffee and tea. So again, we're talking about the causes of multiple sclerosis, and I just gave you a laundry list of things that could contribute to it. And it's important that you, some of the facts that you should know, for example, is that cooked vegetables will help the person with IBS who has diarrhea. And cooked vegetables in small quantities may be very, very helpful. Another fact that you should know is that since the early 1900s, they've documented the association between food allergies and irritable bowel syndrome. And so it was probably the very first noted thing, but the problem was that when they tried to test, this is one of those facts, again, that are very interesting that your doctor probably doesn't know, is that you can't really test for food allergies because their food intolerances are non-immunological. And so a food intolerance cannot be tested by the existing, in other words, I guess the simplest way to say it is that many food sensitivities may not even be detectable by the best currently available laboratory procedures. And so the only way to really, you know, make a difference is to use the elimination diet, just to take one food out of your diet for a couple of months or for a couple of weeks and see what happens. So another thing that you really should know is that meals that are high in refined sugar actually cause the small intestinal to have a bacterial overgrowth. And that slows down the rate at which your intestines move. Another thing that you should know is that when blood glucose levels rise too quickly, you have something that is called gastrointestinal tract peristalsis. And that is how quickly stuff moves because it contracts and expands. That's gastrointestinal tract peristalsis. Well, that slows down significantly when you eat a high-sugar meal. Because glucose, when it's absorbed by the body, it's usually absorbed in the duodenum and the jejunum. And so the duodenum and the jejunum are the parts of the body, they're the portion of the gastrointestinal tract that is affected the greatest. And the most recent studies on diabetes suggest that that's caused by the same effect, that the inability, the duodenum and the jejunum, to properly process glucose. And so the result is that they become a tonic or they don't function the way that they're supposed to. So again, a diet high in sugar may be the most important thing to watch out for. Now, another thing that you should know is that bacteria are very important. One study showed that 20 patients who were given friendly bacteria or a placebo, 95% of the patients in the friendly bacteria group showed improvement, whereas only 15% of the placebo group did. So that showed a very, very strong benefit to adding a good friendly bacteria. And then the other thing is, another thing that you might want to know, is that there is a component caused by the serotonin, a neurotransmitter, and that is produced in the digestive tract and in the brain. A lot of people don't realize that it's also produced in the digestive tract. And the amino acid L-tryptophan, or better yet, its metabolic derivative, 5-hydroxytryptophan, or 5-HTP, has a great relationship with serotonin. So we'll talk about how your diet could help you increase serotonin. And that's, again, a neurotransmitter. And many psychological conditions like depression, anxiety, are correlated with IBS, and so obviously that's something that we can look to when we talk about solutions. But those are, I thought, some facts that you may want to know, simply because you're asking yourself, what's going on with me here? You go to your gastroenterologist, 30-50% of all referrals to gastroenterologists are for irritable bowel syndrome. And so, you know that irritable bowel syndrome could also cause, and here are some of the signs and symptoms, I guess. If you have sexual dysfunction, fibromyalgia, if you suddenly urinate often and you have an urgency, if you find yourself having poor sleep patterns or menstrual difficulty, if you have lower back pain, if you have headaches, if you have chronic fatigue, if you have insomnia, then if you have diarrhea, if you have constipation, these are things, these are some of those symptoms that may be associated. Celiac disease needs to be ruled out as well. And so, you have causes, and then you have signs and symptoms. And I think that you need to correlate the causes and the signs and symptoms. We strongly believe that that some of the early research that was done on irritable bowel syndrome was flawed because they gave wheat bran as the dietary fiber in order to help people with irritable bowel syndrome. And since so many people with irritable bowel syndrome have a sensitivity to wheat, what should have relieved the symptoms actually failed to do so. And so other, again, signs and symptoms are palpitations, hyperventilation, excessive sweating, or infrequent headaches. And those are consistent with food allergy and food intolerance reactions. And so, now we have talked about, what is multiple sclerosis? We talked about the causes. We gave some interesting facts. I told you what the signs and symptoms are. And as is our tradition on the Wednesday night consumer education call, we are also going to tell you some of the dietary things that you may do, some of the do's and the don'ts, what you can do and what you shouldn't do. We will also recommend some nutritional supplements, what we call superfoods, as well as some other lifestyle recommendations. And so we've just got we're more than halfway through the program. And so what I wanted to do is remind everybody that they are listening to the Wednesday night consumer education series. And this is where Purium Health Products allows us to share information. It allows us to address and focus on a issue that may be affecting a large part of our population. And it allows us to take a holistic approach to that problem. It allows us to say, okay, how could I change my life to make this condition less prevalent, less possible, less likely to affect me? So give me one moment to take a sip of water as I'm flying solo this evening. And when I come back, we're going to talk about, again, what dietary changes we could make, what nutritional supplements we might want to use, what exercises and physical activities might reduce this condition, and then again, what things to look out for as it relates to the dangers currently, of using some methods that are not necessarily as safe or as effective. So just give me one moment, and we'll be right back. Okay, great. Thanks again for tuning in to the Wednesday night Consumer Education Series. We're talking all about irritable bowel syndrome. My name is David Sandoval, and we'll be going now into some of the dietary sort of things that we need to look at. Now, one of the first things you want to do is you want to avoid nuts and seeds and fruits with small seeds such as raspberries and strawberries. I don't know the exact reason why, but there's a brilliant man, James Braley, He's the medical director of Amino Labs, Inc. in Fort Lauderdale, and he has been recommending that and having good results, telling people to avoid nuts, seeds, fruits with small seeds like raspberries and strawberries, as well as all types of alcohol, caffeine, and spices, very few spices on your food. And he also believes that, you know, having some good essential fatty acids and a lot of carotenoids are very beneficial. Of course, that would mean deep green leafy vegetables and foods like spirulina. Now, some of the other foods or some of the other things that you need to sort of try to avoid are you want to avoid, of course, antibiotics. You want to try to reduce the amount of antibiotics that you're taking. You also want to reduce the amount of stimulative foods. You want to eliminate coffee and tea, carbonated beverages, and highly caffeinated beverages. You want to eliminate those more stimulative foods. You also have to look out for what are called short-chain fatty acids, and these are these short-chain fatty acids come from some of your seed oils, and that's the reason why seeds and nuts are to be avoided. And this is something from the dietary side of what you should be avoiding. Now, what should you be including in your diet? What types of food should you be including in your diet? Fruits and vegetables, very well chewed fruits and vegetables. Things like avocados, things with soluble fiber, things, for example, like rice bran solubles, things like long grain wild rice, anything that has a component to it that is any fruited vegetable that has, you know, a lot of fiber, like pears and peaches and things like that. These are the foods that you want to include. Flax seeds are a very good food to include in your diet, as opposed to other types of nuts. And then coconut oil is a very good food to include in your diet because it's a medium chain triglyceride. It helps control blood glucose, and as a consequence, that stops the growth of unfriendly bacteria. So some of the foods that you want to do is include foods that have a lot of soluble fibers, foods that will help increase your motility. Live culture yogurt is something that you may want to consider as well. And so between avoiding those foods, it's most important to avoid those foods of which we spoke, and adding fruits and vegetables, of course, is raw and cooked in small servings is very, very important as well. And so as far as diet goes, those would probably be my primary food recommendations as it relates to what you should and should not do. Refined sugar, I want to remind you, may be the most important thing that you can eliminate from your diet. Now, another thing that is very important is stress reduction. Irritable bowel syndrome has a direct correlation in many instances to stress, as does constipation. Constipation and stress both lead to irritable bowel syndrome, and it's what came first, the chicken or the egg. You see, stress oftentimes leads to constipation because when we are stressful, we tighten up, we hold our gut tightly, and that stops ourselves from being able to relax and to let that motility, that expanding and contraction take place. Exercising is a very important thing. Taking long walks is perhaps the best way to both increase motility. That means it exercises your intestines by moving your legs up and down, back and forth, and this helps you to go more often. The exercise itself creates equal breathing patterns, which reduces stress. The very act of walking is a stress reducer, so in many ways helps with irritable bowel syndrome, both physically and emotionally. Very, very important. Now, again, we talked about the need to increase serotonin levels. That happens with the increase of fruit and vegetable intake, just like we told you. So we've already got our bases covered there. The exercise also helps the body release positive endorphins. So exercise, walking, is perhaps the best that you can do. And so that having been said, that brings us down to the superfoods or the nutritional supplements that may be beneficial. Well, starting with the brain, with the neurotransmissions and the relationship between a lack of neurotransmitters and depression, and that depression being part of irritable bowel syndrome, I strongly recommend two stress-reducing supplements. One is our StressX, which is amazing, and the second is, of course, I need the stress reducer myself. In addition to StressX, I also recommend that you take our Revivitol. And so it's only natural that I couldn't remember, since it helps you to remember. So the StressX and the Revivitol are going to reduce stress on the emotional level, and then it is going to also help the brain to have greater neurotransmitter activities. And these two things are going to de-stress the body. Secondly, you want to have foods that are going to help increase those serotonin levels. So the tart cherry is going to be beneficial, as is, of course, the best of greens, because all fruits and vegetables, so biofruit and best of greens, or tart cherry and green kamut, any combination of our superfood green foods or our superfood fruit formulas are going to be ideal for helping increase serotonin. The bacterial relationship of needing friendly bacteria. Obviously, we have our advanced probiotic blend. The advanced probiotic blend is nothing more than friendly bacteria that help reverse that condition. For the constipation, we have the daily fiber blend, which is going to help keep you normal and regular. And for glucose control, we have the product called Control. And so, of course, we said that the excessive consumption of glucose, and so for glucose control, and for we have the product called Control, and for motility, or the need to eliminate more often, we have the product called Daily Fiber Blend. Now, Daily Fiber Blend is an amazing combination of soluble fibers, those same ones we told you that you need to get, of digestive enzymes, which help increase motility as well. It also contains many of the medium and long-chain fatty acids, which are necessary, which are better than the short-chain fatty acids that we talked about, that will help lubricate the bowel. And so the recommendation by the doctors to control glucose, to increase the friendly bacteria, to increase the rate at which you have bowel function, these things are all going to be served by the supplements that we recommend. The StressX and the Revivitol are going to cover the mental and emotional aspect of the recovery from irritable bowel syndrome. And so these are, in my opinion, the supplements that you will need. Now, when it comes to healing the gastrointestinal tract, that's where we're going to need the aloe vera. Our aloe vera 40X is, of course, we all know, famous for helping healing cuts and abrasions and bruises, cuts, abrasions, and burns. However, many people don't realize that our 40X aloe vera is equally as effective at helping to heal the mucosa of the gastrointestinal tract, the intestinal walls, the colon walls, the lining of the stomach. The aloe vera is tremendous for promoting internal healing as well. And so the green foods and the aloe vera will help promote digestion because of all of their enzymes, and they'll help promote healing, they'll help promote alkalization. And this is all very important to contribute to once you are functioning properly, once your bowels are moving, once you've built friendly bacteria, once you feel stable, and feel less anxiety, then you need to not only stop the symptoms of irritable bowel, you need to begin to heal. And so we want to take you on that third step of post-treatment, of the healing of the intestines. So this will take place with the aloe and the green food. So this is a long list. We mentioned 7 or 8 different products that can and will benefit the person with irritable bowel syndrome. We mentioned 7 or 8 different foods that you need to take out of your diet as well. And don't forget, the elimination of stress is equally as important. Irritable bowel syndrome is a condition that can be addressed through diet and lifestyle modification. There is no known pharmaceutical drug to help with this condition, to my knowledge, which means that lifestyle and diet are completely the option that you have to you. And I have done a significant amount of research. I have pored through numerous books on holistic healing, alternative therapies, and natural remedies. And I've also brought to bear the knowledge that I have of the many people that I've spoken to and assisted with this condition. So I hope that this knowledge that we're sharing with you will be something that you can use, as knowledge is power. And it is always good to have power on your side. It isn't that often that people give away power. People with power tend to want to hold on to it. But in this instance, we want you to share the knowledge. We want you to share the power. And by giving this power away, by giving this knowledge away, you yourself become stronger. You yourself become an instrument of healing. And that is something that we hope we can inspire you to be. Again, 15 to 20% of the population in America, that's 45 to 60 million people who are out there. 1 in every 7 people, 1 in every 6 people are affected by this problem. We hope that you will become part of the solution, that you will help us in the educational process to let people know that they can do something about it. And of course, the flatulence and the need to stay near a toilet at times, the painful constipation that causes headaches, migraines, body aches, and obviously auto-intoxication, feelings of nausea, irritability, non-social feelings, for sure. We want to give people their lives back, their better selves back. And we think that by sharing this knowledge each Wednesday, we're going to help to do just that. Once again, you have been listening to the Wednesday Night Consumer Education Series sponsored by Purium Health Products. We have these calls each and every Wednesday night, and if you would like to share the information or to review this information, you can get it a number of ways, the first of which is that it will be available on the replay line 24 hours from now. And in order to listen on the replay line, you simply need to dial 212-990-6260. That's 212-990-6260, and you will be listening to that. We will also email it to you if we have your email address, and you could simply click on the body of the email where it says click here to listen, and you can turn up your speakers on your computer and be listening. It will also be archived onto our back office or onto, the website. And on the education tab, you will be able to tune in and listen anytime you want ad infinitum and share that with others as well. We hope that you will. That having been said, I am going to unlock the phone and take questions and answers for a short period of time. We want to remind you that we are not playing doctor. We are trying to give you an alternative for those of you who want to be your own doctor, which is your God-given right to be your own advocate, and no one could take that away from you. You cannot serve yourself unless you have the knowledge to do so. That's what I consider to be the mission of Purium Health Products. Amy and I will continue to bring you solid, scientifically backed information so that you could make decisions of how you might live to be, as I state, the goal is to live a long life free from disease, and we believe that this knowledge will help you to accomplish that goal, if that is a goal that you share with us. Thank you once again. If you need to go now, I certainly understand it. If you'd like to stay on for a little while, I will take some questions and answers. So God bless you all. I appreciate you having tuned in. And until next week, this has been the Wednesday Night Consumer Education Call, sponsored by Purium Health Products. Okay. Does anybody have a question for me this evening?
David, this is Bill in Phoenix.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Doing pretty good. Listen, I met you last year aboard the Maitai. So I've been into your wheatgrass and your spirulina, and I have really enjoyed them, and I'm going to continue to use them. And everything is looking hunky-dory since I started taking these products.
Well, I will be returning for my annual trip to Hawaii now. I took my daughter last year when I met you. I think you might remember.
Yeah.
And we'll be going back again this year as she has her sights set on playing volleyball for UH. So, who knows? With any luck, we'll see you again when we arrive.
I'll be over there the end of this month until the end of May, so...
Great. Well, I'll be sure to we'll be going over in June, so I think we'll probably miss you this year, but hopefully we'll catch you next time.
All right, David. Hey, nice talking to you. It's a very informative show. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Anybody else with a question or a comment this evening? Well, okay. I want to thank again everybody for having tuned in. Until next week, we look forward to, again, seeing you again. All the best.